The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Good morning, Peoria Nazarene Church family. It's such a joy to have you joining together, even in our homes, to worship our Lord. My name is Mark. I'm the lead pastor at Peoria Nazarene Church, and I want to welcome you to this time of worship with our families or in our homes. And if you're new as well, just joining for the first time, also want to welcome you. I just want to bring a couple of updates here, but before I do, I want to give you an opportunity to continue what we started last week, and that is to pull out your smartphone and take a selfie, a selfie Sunday picture. It can be a silly selfie Sunday. It could be a serious and somber selfie Sunday of you or your family. And we would love for you to upload that on our private Peoria Nazarene Church family Facebook page. And so that's just a private family. And for the regular attenders of Peoria Nazarene, if you'd like to join that group, you can request that online. But we'd love for you to upload your selfie. It's just a wonderful time for us to remember that the Church of Jesus Christ isn't one person. It's all of us that he's brought into his family, and it really encouraged my heart to see your faces, and so I'm hoping that you'll go ahead and participate in that again this Sunday on our private church family Facebook page. And I also just want to thank you for following the guidelines. Just to update on that, that you've done a wonderful job as a church family, as I've checked in with so many of you, at listening to the guidelines that are in place locally from our local governing authorities, our state, our governor, and federal. And I just want to thank you for taking very seriously the call to shelter in place and also the guidelines to practice social distancing. We believe it's so important that we do our part in limiting the spread of this, protecting the many vulnerable who would be more likely to have a serious effect from this sickness. But just want to thank you for taking that so seriously. And with that in mind, we're going to continue. I just want to assure you of that our leaders are committed to continuing to follow those guidelines given to us. So we'll be updating you in the weeks to come. We know that Holy Week starts real soon here. Easter's just a couple weeks away. And we'll be updating you on those kind of gatherings. But please know that we are going to continue to stay in full compliance to do our part to limit the spread of this. So we'll bring you more information when it becomes available. I also want to thank you as a church family for your continued faithful support. Oftentimes in our services, we'll say that when we receive the offering that if you're a guest, we don't ask or expect you to give. Our desire is to be able to share the good news of Jesus with you. But those of us who call Peoria Nazarene our church home, we give, we tithe, we give out of what God has given to us, trusting him to support the mission of not only this local church, but the mission of Jesus in our community. And so I just want to thank you for giving. Some have continued to ask what's the best way to do that. Best way is to give online. You can do so, peorianazarene.church on the website. Encourage you to give by setting up an account. All of that instructions are there. It should make it very easy for you. You can also just give by sending a check in the mail as well. But I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. Also, I just want to say again, if you're being impacted by this, you don't need to give. To care for you to be able to care for your needs is more important. But those who are able, thank you for continuing to support the mission and ministries of Peoria Nazarene. We're going to pause for prayer, and then it's my honor once again, just for these moments, to open the Word of God and to ask that he would meet us through his Word and through his Spirit. So let's pause and let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful that as we gather here today, not in a building, but we gather as the Church of Jesus Christ, as men and women, boys and girls of all ages, who know that we've been saved by your grace, and that your Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that we are your beloved children. Father, we would pause now, and in the midst of all the voices we've been listening to this week, the news, things we've read, things that are happening and changing in our lives, whether they be medically, whether they may be economically, or whether they be physically or relationally. And Lord, we know that you are still God. And we would pause in these moments to hear your voice. So Father, I would ask that as we open your word for these few moments, that the name of Jesus would be glorified, that you would help us to see who you are. And Father, you'd help us to see who we are and help us to see what is available to us in Christ through your great love. Father, we pray that you'd be with each family member here today, that you'd be with each one who's joining, for the kids who are gathering today, for the adults, whatever, wherever we are, Lord, we pray that you would be with us today and that you would guide us. So speak through your Spirit to us for the glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to look at John chapter 15 with me today. And John chapter 15 is part of the farewell discourse of Jesus. The farewell discourse is where Jesus is speaking to 11 of his disciples just after the Last Supper, where Judas left to betray Jesus. The night before that Jesus is to be crucified, Jesus speaks to his disciples. And his last words are very important. They're urgent. He has something that he wants to say to his disciples. In John chapter 14 to John chapter 17, we have those last words, that farewell discourse of Jesus. And I believe that the words of Jesus in John 14 through 17 aren't just the words of Jesus for his disciples in a time of disruption and in an unknown future as things were changing. They're also the words of Jesus for us today. They're the words of Jesus for all Christians while we wait for the return of Christ. Before we open our Bibles and before we dive into the text, I just want to share that I was doing family devotions with my family a couple days ago, and we were reading from Revelation, and we read that beautiful passage in Revelation, some verses from chapter 19 through the end, where Jesus says, "Behold, I am making everything new again." And Jesus speaks of how when he makes everything new again, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more tears. He himself, our Lord, will wipe our tears away. And we were sharing that with our children, and while we were doing that, there were some tears of joy in our family. Because we can feel the loss that we've had in our lives, we can also feel the sense of change is difficult, and everything's changing in how we experience life right now, and we know we're not alone in that. But there was something so comforting in knowing that Jesus is going to make it all new again. He's coming, and he will make everything new again. Now, the very next day, got up in the morning, and Jen shared with me, my wife, that our daughter Autumn, who is 4 years old, just came by in passing, and she had a huge grin on her face, and she said, Mom, Jesus is going to make it new again. Everything's going to be made new again. Now, she attached that in part to her guinea pig named Vernon. Don't ask how the guinea pig's name was Vernon, but she did attach it to that. But in that, in her heart, there was a true joy of knowing that everything that's gone wrong because of sin, the disease, the suffering, all the uncertainties, even the loss she's experienced in her life, that Jesus is coming. And when he returns, he'll make it all new again. Now, that's precisely what Jesus, in a sense, has been saying to his disciples in chapter 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's going to be room. And if I go through my death and resurrection, I will come again to bring you where I am. Jesus promises that he will return. John chapter 14. But what are we supposed to do in the time in between? While we wait, while we live in this world that is yet to be fully restored, that there are things going on like we are all experiencing right now that bring a range of emotions. And the word of Jesus in John 15 is so powerful and effective for us. Simply put, what Jesus tells us to do in John 15 is that we must stay in Christ. We must stay in him until he returns. These are the urgent words in the farewell discourse that Jesus gives his disciples. He's coming again. He will make everything new. But in the meantime, we must stay in him, connected fully to him. How can we do that? I want to share with you three simple ways that in this passage, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, that Jesus calls us to stay in him. The first is this: we must stay in his word. If we're going to stay in Jesus, who is the source of life, we must stay in his word. Look at verse 1 with me, chapter 15. Jesus says this. He says, "I am the vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus calls us to stay in him. And the way we do that here is by staying in his word. And church, I just want to say to you how important this is. You know, what you need and what I need more today is it's not to be connected to me. It's not even first to be connected to this live stream. It's to be connected to the words of Jesus. Jesus is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior that we need. He is the source of life. And the greatest need we have during this time and for all times until he returns is to stay close to him. And one of the greatest ways we stay close to him is through his word. Even here, this message, this passage, John 15, is part of the words of Jesus that help us stay in him. So as we listen to what Jesus is saying in the verses we just read, we can see that he's saying that he is the true vine. We are the branches. This is an illustration that Jesus is using, that we're the branches, and if the branch is disconnected from the vine, it has no power in and of itself. It has no life. It can't bear fruit. It just withers and dies. The vine is what brings the nutrients. It's the source of life, and Jesus is saying that he is that life-giving vine. He's the one and only vine. And in him and only in him do we find life. This is the word of the Lord for us. We're the branch. He's the vine. Jesus says, while you wait for my return, I want you to stay in me. This is a picture of intimacy here. It's a command with urgency where Jesus is saying, you must stay in me, but there's a promise. He says, I will stay or remain in you. So as we stay in Christ, we realize that Christ is leaning and staying in us. There's this mutual indwelling that takes place where we get to share in the life of God himself. The God who himself is life, who is love, who is light, who is goodness, who is righteousness. We get to share in his peace, in his hope, in his joy. Those gifts that the world could never, ever offer are ours when we stay in Jesus. It's so important that we do. Now, to the Jewish listener during this day here, to the people of Jesus' day who would understand the Old Testament, the history of Israel, they knew that this was a common illustration. But the way they came to know it was more of a vineyard that was planted in a land. And it really tied things to the temple and to the territory, the geographic place of Israel, and they were a vineyard that was planted there to dwell in the land as God's people. Here Jesus says that the vine that he is, it's not the temple. It's not a geographic region anymore. No, in the coming of Jesus, God himself has come to us. And there's only one source of life. That source of life is only in the Son of God. You know, in this time of disconnection and difficulty, my hope and prayer above all the different things we're thinking of in this time of disconnection, is that we will rediscover that the only source of life is in the Lord Jesus himself. He's the center of joy. He's the center of life eternal and life now. We must remain in him. We do so by dwelling in his word. We must listen to him. We must let his word permeate us. And we must see that the way we bear fruit is by being connected to him. Fruit is not the prerequisite of staying in Jesus. It's the evidence that Jesus is in us and we are in him. The way we come to be in Jesus is faith. It's trusting in him, in his love and his grace that he freely offers us. So the first way that we stay in Jesus while we wait for his return is to stay in his word, to treasure the words of Jesus, to let them be our guide. The second way that we stay in Jesus is that we are called to stay in his love. We stay in his word. We stay in him also by staying in his love. Look at verse 9 with me. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." It's important here that we hear from the words of Jesus that he truly does love us. And he doesn't just love people in the church, he loves all people. He loves you. He understands you. He loves every person, from the kids who are listening to our eldest member, our oldest member. He loves every single one of us. And the urgent words of Jesus here are words that call us to stay in his love. We must remain and stay in his love. John's already communicated in his gospel how we have access to this love. And it's certainly not by our birth. It's not by our knowledge. It's not by our family. It's not by our religion. Our access to this love is by God's own gift of Jesus. It's the self-giving love of the Son of God dying for us. There's no greater display of love. And the way we come into this love, 1 John 1:12 says, it is only by when we receive him and when we believe in his name that he gives us the right to be called and to actually become the children of God. It is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of man, trusting in him, turning away from our sins and turning fully to him, that we have this life and we have this love. But here John is focusing and Jesus is focusing on this call that we've got to stay in his love. It's important that we know how to experience his love daily or how to enter into a relationship with him by grace through faith. But Jesus' emphasis is not so much on just having that one moment in the past. His challenge is this: are you staying in that love today? Are you connected today to the vine? Are you remaining and staying in this source of love? How do we do this? Jesus teaches us and his disciples pretty clearly this here. First, we can see in this whole unit here of scripture that this truly is an invitation to a personal relationship with Jesus. When you turn fully to Jesus and you receive him as your Savior and Lord and you surrender your life to him, he truly, through the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell in you. And you personally have the privilege of knowing Jesus, of praying directly to him, of knowing that he cares for you. You have his Holy Spirit to comfort you, to encourage you. His word strengthens you. His Holy Spirit helps you understand his word and guides you in his ways. It's an intimate personal relationship. But we also have to hear what Jesus says here. It's not just that intimate personal relationship. It's also the fact that we are called to obey him. Love of Jesus is always, it always responds in an obedient heart to him. and a willingness to follow Jesus in all that he commands. In John's gospel, in really all of scripture, there's really two inseparable pillars to the Christian experience. One is the love of God that cannot be earned, that then turns into our love for him, and then obedience. Love and obedience must never, ever be separated. Now, we long to obey and to follow Jesus and to keep his word and to surrender his lordship, not because we're trying to earn his love. No, there's an order here. We do so because we already have it. We've been given it, even before we loved him. When we were sinners, when we were disobedient to him, when we were doing our own things, he died for us. So the right order is that we receive his love. We then in turn love him through the Holy Spirit, trusting in Christ. And then out of a heart of love, knowing that of what God has done for us, we want to obey him. Jesus said that this is the evidence that we are staying in his love. The evidence, not the prerequisite, but the evidence that we're staying in his love is when we keep his commandments. It's the evidence of that love. As we stay in Christ and experience his love, obedience springs up from our heart. That rather than pleasing self, we want to give to help those in need. Rather than seeking to lift our own name up or empower to rule over other people, we want to take up the towel like Jesus. We could never do that on our own, but it's only possible because the love of Jesus has been poured out into our hearts. We obey out of love because God is the source of love and life and power for every believer. Everything we need for life is in him. And it's his holiness, his goodness in us, and it's his love in us that changes us to desire to obey him. So I want to challenge you right now, in this time with your family at home, in this time of all of our schedules being turned upside down, it's so important that we heed the words of Jesus. Are you staying in his love? Are you staying in his word? Don't stay in fear. Don't stay in self-righteousness. If you fall, if you struggle, if you sin, if you know that your attitude becomes less of what it should be, turn to God for forgiveness. Receive his grace and love again. Don't go back into trying to earn that love. It can't be earned. He loves you. He cares for you. He gives his mercy freely over and over again whenever we turn our brokenness to him. Daily walk in the self-giving love of Jesus. That's the call for us. And the good news, church, is this. Just as a branch, when connected to the vine, bears fruit, Jesus here says that when we stay in his love, we experience the fruit of joy. That his joy is in us, and we experience this complete joy of God. That's the product of staying in his love, which involves loving him and obedience to him. I think one of the reasons we get disappointed at times is because we think that we can just have the love of God without surrender and submission. And willingly laying down our lives in the same way that Jesus did for us. And because we seek God's love without us having to carry the cross like Jesus, sometimes what ends up happening is we don't experience the joy of Jesus. But church, the joy of Jesus comes when we know that the cross of Christ was for us. And what unites us and pulls us together is his sacrificial death of love for us, his mercy and grace of the triune God for us. And when we willingly say, you've done this for me, Jesus, you've died for me, you've given everything for me, I have eternal life in you, here's my life, I submit it, I surrender it to you, Jesus. I want to carry that cross too by your Holy Spirit's grace. I want to be marked by your love. That's where joy is found. There's a joy that no one can take away. There's a Christian joy that this world cannot offer. It's a joy that it doesn't matter whether you're in your house or whether you're out of your house. It doesn't matter what is going on around you. There's a true, lasting Christian joy. It's the fruit of that. So we stay in Jesus' church by staying in his word, staying in his love, and finally, We must love one another. We stay in Jesus as we continue to love one another. Look at verse 12 with me. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." You see, the command that Jesus gives us here flows out of the other two. If we stay in Jesus and he dwells in us and his love stays in us, if we stay in his word, if we stay in his love, then the natural byproduct of that is that the love that God pours in us into our hearts, his love for us becomes the love of God between us. We share that love. Because we've been given it freely, we give it freely. And we give it freely to one another. We share the love of Jesus. And Jesus challenges his disciples and us. We are called to love one another. It's important that we recognize this is not a normal love, but rather it's God's love in us. It's not a love that the world has or can offer. It's the love of God that he has made known. Edward Clink, a commentator, says this, a scholar. I think it's a very helpful distinction about the churches, about Christ's love. It says, "Christian love, therefore, proceeds from the recognition of the love of God in the life-giving death of the Son." That's Christian love. It's the love of the cross. It's the life-giving love of Jesus. And that's how we're called to love one another. Sacrifice, to give, to serve, to care, to put the needs of others ahead of ourselves. Jesus further defines this love by an important word he uses. You may have caught here in what we just read, Jesus calls his disciples friends. He calls them friends, not servants, but friends. He says that we are his friends if we do what he commands. Now, once again, obedience to Jesus demonstrates that we are his friends. It's not the prerequisite. It's not how you become a friend. No. The way we become a friend of Jesus is by Jesus dying for us. He's already done that. He's already shown the greatest love, no greater love that a friend can ever have than to lay down their life. He's already done that for us, and he offers us that friendship. Our part is to trust him, to recognize our sin, to recognize we're not God, to recognize that we can't save ourselves, to turn ourselves fully to him, to invite him to be our Lord and Savior, to commit to carry the cross with him. And in doing so, we are his friends. The evidence to the world that we are friends with Jesus is when they see us following the teachings of Jesus. When we obey his commands, it's the evidence of those things. It's interesting that this word for friend is a Greek word, philos. There's a verb form of that, phileo. It sounds a little bit like a city we know called Philadelphia. The Greek word, verb, is for love, but the noun used here is used for friend. And literally this word, friend, means one who is loved. And Jesus, in calling his disciples, is once again reminding, I have called you friends. You are the ones I love. In church, just for a moment here, I don't know what's happening week three or so of this changing time we're in your life. But do you know right now, and I hope that through the Holy Spirit, you would hear Jesus say to you one more time, you're my friend. I died for you. You are the one that I love. You didn't earn that. I didn't earn that. It's who God is. And this is the love that he calls us to. When Jesus says, love one another, he calls us to a cross-shaped love, where we too would lay down our lives for one another. And we start with the church. We do that for our brothers and sisters, and we extend that to the world as well. Jesus calls us friends. So we close. I just want to invite you. Would you let the Holy Spirit speak to you? Would you let him speak his truth into you? Sometimes in these moments when our whole ordinary life gets just turned upside down, our schedules, like it's bizarre. If you look at your Google Calendar or whatever you use, a lot of things are canceled. And you're in this position of you don't know how to plan one day to the next. And some of us in our hearts are longing, if I can just get back, I just hope I can get back as fast as I can to the way it was. And that's not all bad. But could it be that there's a greater connection that you and I need? You know, the Google Calendar is not going to last forever. The job's not going to last forever. The home won't last forever. The closest relationships we have, they don't even last forever. But Jesus does. He's made us for him. He wants us to stay in him. And he wants to dwell in us. Are you connected to him? Maybe you're connected to him. Now let me challenge you. You might say, yes, years ago, I was connected to him. In a moment of faith, I prayed and received him. That's wonderful. But hear the words of Jesus. Are you staying with him now? Are you staying in his word even now, especially now? His words have life. Fox News or CNN, they don't have life. It's good that we're informed, but they're not the words of life. Jesus' words are the words of hope and life. Will you stay in his word? Are you staying in his love? He loves you. He gave himself for you. There's a hope. There's a peace. There's a life. There's a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, and on, self-control. There is love that can only be found in Jesus. He is the source of life. Stay in his word. Stay in his word. Stay in his love. And love one another. We're going to close and with a song that's going to be sung. And it's just a song that is pretty well known. But it reminds you and I. And it's reminded Christians for over 150 years now that the friendship that we have in Jesus is one of the most precious things we have. It's written by a man named Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven wrote this song in 1855, and he wrote it anonymously. And it wasn't until right before his death in the 1880s that his name actually got attributed to the song. He wrote this song as a poem to his mother. His mom was separated by the Atlantic Ocean. He was many miles away from her. He was in Canada. She was in Europe. And he was unable to be with her, and it was a difficult time. And in his heart, he wrote to comfort his mom, and that's exactly what he does here. He writes to his mom these wonderful, wonderful words in the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I want to share with you, through this song, this beautiful, beautiful hymn. And my hope is that just as this words brought comfort to this family, and through Christians through the ages, that the words of this beautiful hymn will once again bring hope to you today. Let's worship together.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Jesus is the only friend who does not fail. He's the only friend who understands all of our weakness, and he is faithful. Let's pray together. Jesus, we just want to thank you for your presence in this time we've had together today. Father, thank you for the truth that your words have reminded us of. They've reminded us of your love, of your desire to dwell with us, to know each one of us. And Jesus, we know that in this time we have hope, we have life. But the way we have life is only through the Son, Jesus Christ. And we would pray today that for those who may be listening, who they are looking for hope, they're looking for peace during this time. Could it be that in this very time is the moment that you intend on showing them that you've been in their life from the very beginning and you are the answer they've been looking for all along? So for anyone here who does not yet know what it means to call you Father, to love you, to be in you, we're so thankful that you give to all the right to become your children. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust fully in him, we have life. So I pray for anyone here who may not know your salvation, that right here today, even, they would pray and they would ask you to become their Savior and Lord. They would admit that they know they can't save themselves. They know that the world doesn't offer lasting salvation. You do. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And then I would pray for anyone here who's listening, who's a follower of you, but they've been being pulled to the left or to the right. Remind them that in these moments, you intend to meet with them. You love them. You call them friend. Give us the grace this week to stay in you, as you promised to stay in us. Give us the grace to stay in your word, to open the word of God, to let your word permeate us and shape and lead us. And then, oh God, would you give us the grace to love one another just as you have loved us. Thank you for the hope we have. Thank you that we know you're coming again. And when you come again, you will make all things new again. May those words comfort us. May they encourage us. May they give us the grace we need in these times. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you again for joining us today, Peoria Nazarene Church family. Looking forward to being with you again next week. We'll keep you updated as well with additional ways to connect that'll become available throughout the week. God bless you and your family, and God bless all those, especially who are working this week for our protection. Let's continue to pray for those medical professionals, our leaders, and various peoples. God bless you. Thank you.